back to the Movie Draft House. I'm your host, Mark, joined by co-host Jeff.
What up, man? How's it going? Good evening.
Good evening. It's going good here in the Draft House. How's the week been for you?
It's been good. Let me ask you, if you were going to be named after any one biblical character, what would it be? Would it be Mark, maybe?
Good one. Good one. But before we get into what we watched this week, we got to plug some music. And because it's a new month, which means new theme, but also means new music here on the podcast. And this month, we want to give a shout out to the, he calls himself a multi-instrumentalist.
Ooh.
From New York.
That sounds too classy for us.
It is too classy for us, but his genres include hip-hop, indie-pop, psychedelic rock, folk, funk, and even jazz.
Oh my gosh.
His name is No Shows, and we appreciate him. Let us use his music here on the podcast. The song is Getaway, and so make sure you give him a like, a follow, subscribe. He's doing big things, and we appreciate him. Jeff.
Yes, sir.
What's the theme this month?
Well, the theme this month is, it took us exactly 2 seconds to think of it. It's March Madness. If you're into basketball, you know what that means. So we're doing basketball movies. That's all the thought process we put into it.
That's enough, right?
It's better than the theme we did last time. We put too much thought into it, and it just was... ass backwards, and I'm glad it's over. But I'm ready for a month of hoops. We've talked briefly before in the past on other podcasts or whatever, but you and I, at least me, I'll speak for myself, you can tell me, but I grew up a big hoops fan. You know, the era of Michael Jordan was very popular for basketball. It was possibly even arguably more popular than football back in those days. Maybe not arguably. Someone could look up the stats. But for me, it was my main sport. I was a Seattle Supersonics fan. They don't exist anymore. So I don't watch basketball.
So now you're an Oklahoma City Thunder
fan.
Fuck
no. No. But what about you? You growing up on hoops?
Yeah. I grew up, I have a big contingent of family that's in the Orange County, California area. It's a suburb right outside Anaheim, Los Angeles. And every summer I would go out and spend like a month with my family out there since I was real small. And my grandfather was a big Lakers fan. I became a big Lakers fan. Mm-hmm. I grew up with the start of the Shaq era, Shaq and Kobe era.
We sent you him here from Florida,
right? And I've always been I'm a lifelong Lakers fan.
So I got no problem with that. But let me tell you what I have a problem with, and it has nothing to do with you. Growing up in school, being a Sonics fan, hardcore, man, like that's my team. And no matter what, they were my team until they died. But all of the flipping, that's right, I'm going to swear, basketball fans were Bulls fans back then, which is fine. If you were a Bulls fan, I get it. But what was not fine is when the Bulls started to suck and you were giving me shit about the Bulls being great, when you jumped ship to Kobe and Shaq and then still gave me, you don't get to do that. You know what I mean?
I mean, everybody loves a front runner, right?
You can't like talk shit, like that's what they did. Yeah. You could tell I'm hurt and wounded because they talk so much shit about the Sonics in the year, especially the year where the Sonics lost in the finals to Michael Jordan and the Bulls. I had to hear so much crap. And, when they started sucking, I would start shitting on them. But, oh, I don't like them anymore. I like Shaq and Kobe and the Lakers. It was bullshit. Like, I couldn't win. And that, that's my... Anyway, so we're watching basketball movies this month, and all of that to say, as a Seattle Supersonics fan, I don't think he was on the team, actually 98, I'll have to check, but Ray Allen was had a long tenure in Seattle. He was one of my favorite players, arguably one of the best shooters of all time. I'd say he's in the top five in my book. So when he was playing, I saw that this movie came out. He got game, Denzel Washington. And I'm like, oh, I got to watch this sometime. And it took me, 30 years to get to it? Sure. So here we are.
No, you didn't give me an opportunity to tell my story about basketball. But
I opened the floor to you, didn't I?
No.
No, I stopped, right? I interrupted you. Boy, what
you interrupted me,
you
told me how you hated things and then got right into what we were watching.
You record with a real piece of shit.
No, my defining basketball moment as a Lakers fan is one summer I'd gone out to visit my family. And my family in California pretty well off. And so they had gotten tickets to I'm trying to remember the year, but it was when the Lakers were playing the Suns. Oh, it was 2004. They're playing the Suns in like the Western Conference. I think it wasn't the finals. It was the round before the finals, semifinals. We went to the playoff game. And Derek Fisher, who everybody knows who Derek Fisher. No,
basketball fans know.
Yes.
Everyone knows Michael Jordan and Shaq and Kobe.
Sure, but anyway, so the game's all tied up, and there's like 3 seconds left, and Derek Fisher gets the ball. Somebody passed Derek Fisher the ball. I don't remember who. And Derek Fisher, he just hits this three-point falling away. And with 0.4 seconds, ends the game. And it's the infamous Shaq quote after the game, one lucky shot deserves another, and they printed a bunch of T-shirts, 0.4 seconds. It was like, I can remember
Derek
it to
Fisher
this
was
day.
A Lakers point guard at that time, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay, all right. Because when you call a lucky shot, it feels like you're talking shit.
No. Yeah. But I just remember the entire Staples Center going nuts. It was just, it was crazy. I just remember that moment being this just incredible, like, just such, it feels like I could have, I saw it yesterday. And that was, you know, I think I was in high. No, I was in middle school. I don't remember how old I was then, but it was just that's such a vivid memory, and it's so cool when we have sports moments that almost define an era in our life, right? Mm. And that moment was that era for me in basketball, and it just like I immediately like and we left the arena. Just like everybody's like fiving and everybody, I mean, it was so crazy. I'd never seen anything like it as a Jaguar fan.
Yeah, they have to win a game for
right, everyone. Right. So I never experienced anything like that. So it's just like sports do something to us as sports fans that can only be brought about by this like pure. It's the highest of highs or the lowest of lows, right? And I say all that to say that I think we're going to have a lot of that with these movies that we watch.
We're going
to
have
month.
Highs and lows, you think?
Yeah. Probably more
gonna,
lows than highs.
We're going to hope that whatever. What was your last movie?
My last one. What was it?
Is it going to have a buzzer beater from. See, I didn't write the shit down. I thought you had it.
Oh, maybe I did.
Maybe I wrote it down and I just don't remember. I'll look on my.
No, I got it. I got it. Coach Carter is our last one.
Okay. Is it?
Yeah. Wait, no.
That doesn't sound right.
He got game, Air, Coach Carter, and the Way Back. The Way Back is our last one.
I was going to say, because maybe that could be the buzzer beater. You know, just keep anyways, the basketball going.
Anyways, had you ever seen He Got Game?
Never. Like I said, it took me 30-something. Well, not quite 30-something. What's that? 20%. Like 30-something years to get to it. And this is my first viewing. How about you?
Yeah. No, I mean, I always knew it existed. Never really interested me, not as a sports movie, not as a Denzel movie, not as a Spike Lee movie.
Right. We should mention this is a Spike Lee joint. It says so at right. the beginning of the film.
And you can tell all the way through this is a Spike Lee joint. And then there's a lot of bad mixed with good there. But
Ooh, okay. How many Spike Lee films have you watched?
Quite a few.
I think I'm actually...
I haven't seen his entire filmography.
Well, there aren't many people who have seen the full filmographies of some of cinema's greatest creators. but there are a few.
No, I've seen... I'll just go down the list. Defy Bloods. That's good. That's a good one. Have you seen that one? Jeff?
Oh, okay. I thought I lost you because you said what? Defy Bloods. I thought you were going to keep going.
Yeah, I said, have you seen it?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Cut off then. I had not seen it. Okay. Like, I don't think I've seen...
What about Black Klansman?
No.
Okay.
You know me in modern movies. Like, I haven't even seen his old ones. Like, I've never seen Jungle Fever, Malcolm X, Do the Right Thing. She's got a... To be honest, this might be the only Spike Lee film I've ever seen.
Are you serious? Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I really...
Hey, he's your blind spot.
Big time. Big time. Yeah. And he is written down as one of the eventual directors we'll get to on Chronologically, my other podcast, where we do full filmographies of a single creator. So
okay.
It's at some point I will fix and remedy this blind spot. But I was more familiar with Spike Lee as the guy at courtside at all the Knicks games.
Right.
Than I was with his films.
No, so this might be the... No, it's not the oldest Spike Lee film I've seen, but...
Yeah, because I mean, Malcolm X is 92.
Yeah,
Do the Right Thing's 89.
I haven't seen that one. But I, so this film is a very, there's a lot of things done here by Spike Lee as the director that I do not like.
Well, what's your general opinion on
Spike Lee?
No, on this film.
Oh,
just a general.
It's fine. It's a little bit long. And I didn't feel like it needed to be as long as it is, but it's fine.
It is 2 hours and 21 minutes. Which, yeah, when I saw that, I was like, damn it, Jeff. 2 hours, 16 minutes, excuse me. Which is, I mean,
it's still too long.
It's not a, I mean, we've seen longer, but
for this movie, it's still too
for
long.
For sure. Because there are a lot of scenes that I just feel like we didn't need this, or they right. drag out.
Right. Like, not all of them, but.
I mean, everything that had to do with Mila Jovovich,
yeah,
you can cut from the film, and it doesn't yeah. change really anything.
I think her character serves some purpose.
Well, in the grand scheme of the plot, what is that?
It humanizes Denzel.
Okay. Did you like the part where... he was trying to have sex with her, and then he jizzed in his pants.
But it's understandable because he ain't seen a woman in so many years.
I'm not going to say it hasn't happened to me. Did I lose you again?
Be real, son. Be real.
I said I'm not going to say it hasn't happened.
I know. You didn't lose me. You just said it twice here on the podcast.
I was going to say, because when there's this scene where Ray Allen goes to this school and Rick Fox is playing some character. Did you notice that was Rick Fox?
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a lot.
How he got to be such an actor in the 90s and
Bro,
2000s.
What
I don't
get is they got Ray Allen. And I'll just say this. Ray Allen is terrible. Not a very good actor.
No, he's not
bad. Like, he doesn't shit the bed. But he is not good. And there are several places, especially when he has to display anger, he's not great. When he's just kind of talking, it's fine. Like when he's giving basketball interviews, it's fine because he knows how to do that. But generally speaking, most of his acting is kind of stiff. But then Rick Fox shows up and dunks on Ray Allen, metaphorically speaking, with his acting.
Anytime Rick Fox,
is such a better actor in this movie. He has breathed so much life and charisma when he's on the screen that I'm like, just cast this guy. You know, he's so much better as an on-screen performer. He's not a better basketball player. And I know you're a Lakers fan, so I don't know. I hope that doesn't offend you. But in my opinion, Ray Allen is better than Rick Fox.
Yeah, the Hall of Fame would agree with you. Rick Fox is just he's just a character, right? Like a character actor type guy.
You say he's been this actor. What else has he been in?
What are the other films I've seen him in? He's for sure been in other films.
First, if you don't know, if you're not a basketball fan. He was a player for the Lakers. He's also an extremely handsome man. But he's been on Shameless. He's been in the movie Dope. He's got 76 acting credits. He's in the TV show Blackish, Ballers, Killing Hasselhoff.
He's
Sharknado 3. Sharknado 3, anyone?
It's probably the best one he's been in.
I mean, I've not seen it. But so yeah, Rick Fox definitely a better actor than so how did you feel about Ray Allen in this?
I don't think you needed to cast a basketball player to play your main character. I get it, Spike Lee probably wanted to showcase actual basketball in his film,
and he does
casting
it
right he does, and by casting an actual basketball player you can do that, even though Denzel got some handles in the film, and you know he's a very admirable basketball player.
I felt like all of his stuff he was doing, you know, like there's no need to you cut away and it's a different guy with a Denzel wig on, you know.
Well, so I didn't like Ray Allen. He's not a good actor.
No.
And so casting him as the main character in this film was probably a miss. If he had been some supporting character, cool, like a Rick Fox.
He wouldn't have been as good in that role.
No. But
Rick Fox.
But you're not casting Rick Fox as the main character in your film.
Maybe if it's like a party comedy.
Yeah. Right. There was no believability to Ray Allen's character or how Ray Allen played his character of there's very little emotion. Like you said, when he gets angry in some scenes, it's not that good. So I had a hard time getting behind, you know, how the character was feeling in the moment. And it's just like, It took me out in his scenes. It took me out of, like, Denzel owns this movie.
Right.
And he's so good. And for him to be a supporting actor in the film.
He's on the poster. I would consider Denzel the main character.
I don't agree. His screen time I don't think it equals Ray Allen's. If it's close, if it is, but.
Yeah, I'm not going to look it up. No, I don't know if there's a stat anywhere that backs that up, but I felt like it at the very least the story, I guess it is kind of split though, because the story is Denzel is this prisoner who's been released from jail to convince his son to sign with a particular college to appease the governor of whatever state this is. And then Ray Allen is the number one high school prospect. And of course, back in these days, you could go right to the NBA out of college. And so there's a lot of things pulling him, the pressure of which college he's going to go to. Should he just go pro and all of those things? So I think both of their stories take an equal measure of the plot. I think one of them is much more interesting than the other. that being Denzel's.
But that's almost by default, is because Denzel's one of the greatest actors we've ever seen.
Yes. I mean, that doesn't hurt.
And the other one's Ray Allen.
Right.
I mean, he wins by default.
Well, instead of shitting on Ray Allen,
okay,
who are your top five shooters in NBA history?
I mean, Steph.
Steph's number one, Curry, with a bullet, right?
Yeah.
It's not even, like, to me, Steph is a distant first. He's way out in front.
And then, you know, Ray Allen's got to be.
In my opinion, I would put him in the top three. I would put Reggie maybe a little above Ray.
I would, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I just, Ray Allen was the better shooter for longer.
Yeah. He also has the fastest release. Now, I don't know if that's true anymore, but it was just like from the moment he decides to take a shot till it's left his hand was like the shortest in the league.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I think
and then Steph came along and he fucked up the whole game, and he's just, Steph's insane.
Well, I think Clay Thompson.
Yeah.
Is probably in the conversation for top five. I'm biased with this one, but I think Kobe's one of the
best
shooters.
Oh yeah.
And so that'd be my top five: Steph, Clay, Ray, and Reggie or Kobe would be five and six. What about you?
That's about right. I mean, like, number one is Steph, and then Reggie, Ray. I didn't get to watch him much, but everyone says Larry Bird was a great shooter. But I don't know.
Yeah, I don't.
I
don't think anybody.
Dan Mallory,
was a basketball player,
Marley, whatever the hell you say his name, he's a great shooter.
Who?
He played for the Suns. Dan Marley.
Steve Nash?
No. I know who Steve Nash is. I'll look it up. It's Dan something or other. Dan Marley. Yeah, Dan Marley.
I don't know who that is.
Well, anyway, he's a shooter. Anyway,
he's the underground top five.
Yeah, no. I just remember him raining it. So, yeah, I want to say Steph's the GOAT when it comes to shooting.
Yeah, no. As a basketball player, he's great, and like, this is early. So in this film, Ray Allen it's early Ray Allen. He's really this. What Ray Allen ended up being was not the Ray Allen we see in this movie, right?
As far as like his caliber,
basketball.
Yeah, I don't remember a ton of hype around Ray Allen, or even when he was in the league. Right, he was kind of this consistent role player. Like, I mean, he was the best guy on all the teams he was on until he went to Boston, but he was never the Jordan, Kobe,
no, kind of
guy. Yeah.
And that's the way this film is depicting him, right? And so I think it's kind of like maybe, so like in 1998, how long had Ray Allen been in the league?
I'll find out.
So I wonder if like Spike Lee had this desire to showcase Ray Allen as like one of the world's best coming out.
He'd been in the league 2 years. Because he does. He was. He joined the league in 96. He was born in 75. So he would have been 21.
What was his draft pick?
First round, fifth overall. That's pretty damn high. Yeah. Selected by the Timberwolves. He did not play for the Sonics at this time. He was still playing for the Bucks when this was filmed.
Yeah. So I think the way Spike Lee depicts his character in the film and getting Ray Allen to play him might be some kind of revisionist history type thing of his own story, which is kind of cool to think about. And if you have the opportunity to do that as a basketball player / actor, I think that would be pretty cool. But now let me tell you what I hated about this film.
Yeah.
It's the goddamn symphony in every fucking scene.
So the score, I'm not going to say the soundtrack, because there's a lot of great hip-hop in this movie. But the score is weird. It's like all horns and strings and
it's,
shit.
But it's in every fucking scene, and I hate that. And Spike Lee does a lot of that shit in his movies, where the soundtrack just plays throughout. There's no... I think a lot of these scenes in this film would have hit harder with me if it had just been fucking dialogue, no goddamn symphony. Because, like, in some of the heartfelt moments between Denzel and a Jovovich character, where, you know, he's kind of pouring his heart out, and or she's pouring her heart out to him. Like, those are real conversations. Those are conversations that build character. And they're just dwarfed and drowned out by this damn classical music. And it just... It was so weird that throughout the... I don't think there is one scene in this film where there's not some outstanding score. And it just got... It got to weigh on me after a while. I was like, damn, shut the fuck up. Let me listen to these motherfuckers talk. I don't know. That's... I agree completely.
It's
like, fuck.
I found it extremely distracting. So,
and there's probably a reason for it, right? I mean, I don't think Spike Lee just is like, hey, put this fucking thing.
I mean, he liked doing half hour long movie. It's not for everyone, and certainly not for me. So I have here the CBS Top 15 shooters of all time. Now, I'm not going to go through them all.
Okay.
I did look through. Dan Marley isn't on there. But at five...
He isn't or is?
Is not. but Kyle Korver is six, which tells you... Yeah, okay.
I remember Kyle Korver being a really
good
shooter.
He's a great shooter. I just... Yeah. Shooting is, I guess, isn't everything is what that proves. Reggie Miller at five. Larry Bird at four. Ray Allen... at three, Klay Thompson at two, and then, of course, Steph at one. But they're like, Steph starts off.
Where's Kobe on that list?
I'll get there. Steph is not even a debate, is what it says. Because they, statistically, he's the GOAT.
Yeah.
Kobe, Steve Kerr. I forgot about Steve Kerr. Kobe didn't make the list.
Bullshit.
Are you biased?
Bullshit. That list is trash.
I would have been pissed.
It doesn't even have Dan Marley on it.
Yeah, it doesn't even have Dan Marley. What the hell are we going to take this serious?
Get the fuck out of here, CBS. Anyways, all right, so what did you think of what's-her-face's character?
Mila Jovovich?
No.
Excuse me.
I mean,
Rosario
we get
Dawson?
Young. Yeah, Rosario Dawson. We get both young Rosario Dawson and young Mila Jovovich here, so I guess give me your opinion on both.
As far as their performances go, they're good.
Yeah.
You know, neither of them, they're good. I think a lot of her stuff could have been cut, Mila Jovovich, and it would have been pretty much the same movie other than the come in the pants scene. But
speaking from experience, right?
From experience, you know, that's a very real life thing that can happen to anyone, you know, regardless of whether you've been in jail or not, it happens. I've never been in jail.
Got you.
Got it. Rosario Dawson's character does play more of an important role, and it's anyway, I didn't understand her character motivations.
In the film,
that applies to pretty much everyone in this movie. I do not understand their motivations. Maybe Denzel Washington you can kind of get. But I think generally speaking, I don't really know what everyone is really trying to accomplish.
Yeah. To get Ray Allen to go to these made up schools, I guess.
But, oh, do you want him to go to Tech U, where Rick Fox plays, or Big State? Gotta go to Big State. Don't want to go to Little State. Like, I get it, but you could come up with something else.
Right?
Big State. I mean, Tech U. I was like, that's fine. Like, it didn't.
That's what are you talking about? Technology University.
This is where you go for your technology. Right? and then Big State, which I'm guessing is in Texas, because that's a big state.
Could be California, though. You never
California
know.
California is a
big state. Alaska is a big state,
It is not in
too.
Alaska. I feel comfortable saying it's not in Alaska.
But I just, the motive, like, so the movie sets up, so Denzel, you know, the three quarters of the way through, has a conversation with Rosario Dawson's character, and he confronts her.
That was so weird. And,
right, but, like, it leads you to believe that Rosario Dawson is an agent of some, for some nefarious purpose.
Well.
Because she's got the cousin in the background, but he's been, like.
Isn't that the guy
right.
she's banging?
Yes.
That's not her cousin, or I hope not. What the hell kind of movie is this?
Oh, it came too fast in my pants.
It happened to you too? Anyway. Yeah, I that was a weird scene. There are so much. Okay. There's so much about Denzel's character that is a problem, especially like his abusiveness, right? There is the only thing I could pull out of this as a theme is like having a temper, right? Like,
is that a theme?
Maybe. Like, so the whole thing is like Denzel is in jail for the death of his wife. Now, there are several points in the movie where he says murder and
yeah, murder.
Killed. I don't consider that murder. Now, you are the.
It's homicide.
Well, homicide, I don't think is in the law books, right? As far as like you can't be charged with homicide.
It's manslaughter. Manslaughter.
That's what I was going to say. It's manslaughter. I his intention.
It's not murder. Murder is premeditated.
Well, it's what you want to have happen. Is how I understand it.
Which is premeditated.
Well, premeditated makes me think. Okay, I'm about to head off to murder. I got my knife on me. I got my gun. Okay, yes. I'm going to go to murder Jimmy. Whereas. Yes. Second degree murder is you do intend to kill them, but it wasn't something you planned. You know, you got in a fight, things got out of hand, you stabbed the guy in the neck. He's dead. What happens
but you didn't
between
mean to stab him in the neck? No. You meant to stab him in the chest.
Well, regardless, you intended to kill them. Intent. So I think murder is with intent. Manslaughter is not intent. And I think he did not intend for his wife to die. And but he says it when he's talking to people, when he introduces himself to Mila Jovovich, is I murdered her and I killed her. And then like the Ray Allen
character.
Maybe he
feels that way.
Well, sure. But then Ray Allen is like, why did you kill mom? And he doesn't even say like I didn't mean to. He just kind of like it's just one of those things. And so I get this like going into the scene where we finally see what happens to his wife. I'm feeling like he's just. Stabbed her like he had to just stab her and but what actually happens is an accident to a degree, you know, he kind of shoves her and she hits her head and she dies. And I thought that was weird. I just the
it's a very 90s way to die though.
Yeah, like a head trauma. It just there was a lot of moments that felt incomplete, like the threads of that story not being felt out. Rosario Dawson's thing with her side piece and trying to get Ray Allen to meet with this agent. And, you know, that what was that about? Where did that go? Like he goes and he meets the agent and that's kind of the end of things.
But Denzel's conversation kind of was the culmination.
That's kind of how I got on this thread. Cause it was kind of physically imposing. Just to the guy who he does assault.
Yeah.
Remember that Denzel is out on.
Yeah, and he runs away from
him. Yeah, he hits him and then runs off. But I felt like he was going to assault her. And I still see, like, when I'm watching this movie, I don't feel like Denzel's character has changed. Right?
No. And he says that at the end of the film, right?
He killed his wife. He's still the same guy. Like, he would do what he did again. Not on purpose, but they show him with a drink in his hand. And when he gets the drink in, he starts getting like pushy and angry. And then the way he treats his son when he's a little kid trying to teach him basketball, he's an unlikable guy. And I think that was kind of like what threw me off. Like in the movie, he's super respectful to the warden. He's like, yes, sir. Okay, sir. And then he gets out and he's an asshole to his family. I mean, he treats his daughter pretty nice, but he's not around her enough to treat her like shit, like she, like he does to Ray Allen's character. So I found it hard to root for him. It was a little easier to root for Ray Allen, with the exception of his acting not being believable enough for me to think of him as someone other than Ray Allen.
I honestly, I really didn't care for any of these characters. Mila Jovovich's character is probably the only one that I was like, damn, I feel bad for her.
Right. Yes. I think that she is a human character that has like good intentions and is just in a bad place.
Yeah.
And everyone else is just trying to suck Ray Allen's money away.
I wasn't where I thought you were going with that, but
you ever rub against the couch and you have to
damn, stop injecting your personal experience into the podcast.
I can't not talk about my personal experiences, but maybe that one was too much.
We're humanizing the podcast here. Yeah, I agree. The characters here, even though I really enjoyed Denzel's performance, is because he gives that iconic Denzel bravado.
Yes.
Here.
Yeah.
And it's so good to like, I could watch Denzel just being that like, oh, you ain't got shit on me, boy.
What if he was like working at McDonald's and was like, now I know you're going to supersize this, right? Why wouldn't you? You know, that's, I'm like, yes, sir. Supersize my shit.
So I could watch Denzel. I honestly could watch Denzel on anything. You know,
What's your favorite Denzel movie?
It's Training Day. 100% without a doubt. Training Day.
Would it hurt your feelings if I've never seen it?
God, it's going on the list.
Yeah. Never seen Training Day.
All right. It's going on the
list. I really like American Gangster.
The second I can shoehorn it in,
American Gangster. We'll get to it. Training Day. We could do Cop Month. The Police Corner.
Buddy Cop Month.
That is not a buddy cop movie. That's the thing with these themes. It's like, I'll do buddy cops, and then you'll pick up Training Day, which not a buddy cop film.
You know, we should do that on a 5 month, 5 week month. And we should do Buddy Cop and make Training Day.
It's not a Buddy Cop.
The fifth
film.
Week. But that's the joke.
Our themes are a joke. That actually explains a lot. And that's why we're watching a non basketball movie next week.
But, no, I mean, I enjoyed the final battle scene. I'm putting that in quotes.
Final
here.
Battle.
Right. Between Denzel and Ray Allen's character is because midway through this game to 21 or 11, whatever it was, you know, Denzel stops kind of trying, and it's probably a combination of, hey, he's old. He can't keep up with this young dude. And you know, he says, Ray Allen's character says something like, "Whoa, you just not trying now?" And Denzel says something like, "Oh, I'm just teaching the lessons like I always do." And that one scene, like, kind of, I forgave the movie for all of its sins in the one basketball scene. It's because that was the best scene in the movie. Was Ray Allen and Denzel going at it, and Denzel like heaving breaths, you know, and Ray Allen just dunking on him.
Yeah.
And Denzel going, he knows he can't beat him. And then he says, I'm just teaching lessons. So it clicked for me that he never thought he was going to beat him.
Yeah.
He knew he wasn't going to beat him, and he just wanted this kid to get out of his anger. You know, and by beating him, you know, by defeating the big black cloud of anger that had swelled up in him over
that was such a weird lesson.
Yeah.
That I feel like the movie didn't lay any layers of defeating anger as a theme.
Yeah.
It felt like a last minute moral to the story.
Sure. Sure. I agree with you. The film that should have been the theme throughout is how do you deal with your anger? You know, how do you live with trauma and get past it? That would have been a better movie. But the final scene of the basketball scene and the lesson that is learned, quotes, I dug it because it's Denzel. It's Denzel teaching this young kid, you know, hey, you can get past it. And I think that resonated with me as a basketball fan, as a Denzel fan, as, you know, somebody who just sat through 2 hours of fucking film, where nobody said anything about anger. And then finally they're battling on the basketball court. It's like, okay, all right, I'll sit through this 20-minute scene and, you know, get somewhere with it. But
I think what would wrap up, and the movie gives you at the very end of the perfect analogy of what I think of He Got Game. So at the beginning of the film, the whole thing is the governor's going to let you out to convince you so you can go convince Ray Allen, the best high school player in basketball, to go to the governor's alma mater. And then at the end of the movie, you didn't get him to sign the letter of intent, even though he's going to his alma mater. Basically, the governor is not going to keep his end of the deal up.
And he loop-told him.
And it just felt like, well, then what the hell are we doing here, right? You know, he did all this work. He got his son to go to the college he wanted him to and then got nothing out of it. And Ray Allen's going to this college that, hey, maybe wasn't the best fit for him, but he felt obligated to do it for his dad. And now his dad's not even getting out, you know? And
yeah.
So the real winner in this is the governor, who has 0 minutes of screen time. Right. And I all of that kind of left me empty. And I get that the realistic thing is probably this ending. You know, the governor wouldn't keep up his end of the bargain to get this done. He's just exercising his power. He's a piece of shit. I will say I did like Ned Beatty as the warden. I felt like he genuinely was upset for Denzel.
I mean, Ned Beatty plays a warden in every movie he does.
Okay. I didn't know that, but I don't know. Knowing you, that just came out of your ass.
It did. It's come out of my ass.
Good. I'm starting to.
But he seems like the type of actor that, like, any movie he's in, he's playing either the villain or an opposing authoritarian figure.
It's just my bullshit meter is tuning in to the mark frequency. But that's kind of how I feel about the whole movie. Is like, did any of this go anywhere? Did any of our characters actually?
None of them grew, except
I mean, arguably Ray Allen is the. But it's
nominal,
if anything, right?
I just think he chose the school that he did.
You know, and none of it is particularly clear. Nobody gets their comeuppance. Like all the bad people, they don't get anything. And then there's like this weird argument between Rosario Dawson and Ray Allen. Because the best scene in the movie to me is when he goes to Tech U. And Rick Fox is like showing him all the women. And then he takes Ray Allen into the room with the two enhanced women. And
they're not endowed.
Enhanced. If they were endowed, nothing wrong with that. But they were enhanced. And then he goes back and he's with his girlfriend, Rosario Dawson. And she accuses him of cheating on her. And then he's like, well, you've been sleeping with the guy that Mark called your cousin. And she's like, well, yeah, but I admitted it. No, you just now admitted it. And he forgives her and he just kind of moves on. And there's no there's no resolution. There's conflict. And then there's nothing that comes of it. And I think to me, that's what this movie is. Like just conflict and then no like way to kind of get to the end of what the conflict is in the narrative. It really was bizarre to me. And I think that's why I have a hard time with the movie, is because I can't pin it down on anything.
Well, that in the characters, there's no redeeming quality to really any of them.
His uncle is the worst. Like the aunt, who's in one scene, is actually like, honey, go where you want to go. You make your choice. Don't worry about us. But the uncle's trying to get money out of this. He's like, I helped raise you and paid for you and blah, blah, blah. I want to cut, you know, and nothing ever happens to that guy. Yeah, it just is like, ugh. But by far, like the tech you stuff with John Turturro shows up and John Turturro starts praying with them. And first off, we need to get into the fact that Ray Allen's name is Jesus. I was going to roll my eyes.
I liked the explanation of it, right?
Sure, but what I was going to roll my eyes, and I did. But then Ray Allen says something that I'm like, oh, okay. I like where he says, "I hate my name," you know, and he describes what it was like growing up being called Jesus, and then it made it feel real to me because his sister's name is Mary, his name is Jesus, but as someone whose name closely resembles that of a serial killer, I can relate with Ray Allen here. And then it was like, oh, okay. And then I forgave the fact that his name was Jesus, because that was one of the smarter things, is that it acknowledged that that's a weird name to name someone. Right. That, and it, at least using the pronunciation of Jesus. Jesus is something different. I've met Jesuses in the world. I've never met Jesuses.
You let me know if you do. I the second best scene to me is the scene where Denzel is telling, you know, Jesus how he got his name, and and it's not after, you know, he's not named after, you know, the biblical character. He's named after a guy who had the nickname Jesus.
Right.
And so I really enjoyed that, is because it's showing the human side of Denzel and Ray Allen's relationship in the film, even though they don't have one. And you know, that's like an olive branch from Denzel to Ray Allen in the film, and I just wish there was more of that. I wish there was more dynamic.
And as you're saying that, it's dawning on me what is bothering me is that nobody in this movie has pure intentions.
Yeah.
Except Ray Allen. I mean, well, and pure is a strong word for his intentions. I don't know how to explain it. His are his own. He's using his own skill, and he's earned this chance to go to these schools, and it's his right to go to these places and do this. But everyone else who's being nice to him are trying to get something out of him.
Yeah. It's a bunch of, everybody's being fake towards him, and
the character that pissed me off the most was Rosario Dawson, because she's like, what do I get out of this? Well, you don't get shit. Like, who are you that you think you're owed this? You know, like Uncle Bubba, you're not owed this because you raised me. You know, like. It kind of annoyed me, which it should.
It's a frustrating movie.
Yeah.
And because I think there's stuff here that, you know, with I don't want to say better directing, because Spike Lee he's a good director. But I think probably a better written story, better acting from some of the actors here would have done wonders for this type of story.
That's true. I wonder how I'd receive the movie if someone else was reading Ray Allen's lines. Like, would they come across different? Was there an emotion that I'm missing that is keeping this story from actually coming across in the way that Spike Lee intends? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's real, because there's a disconnect between screen to audience, for me at least, and that's where when films by what cinema has determined is a great director is when there's a disconnect between character and audience. And I think that's what we get here. I think, and it's not Denzel, like there's no disconnect between Denzel and how I interpreted him, but I just didn't get enough Denzel. I got too much Ray Allen, not enough Denzel. And so that decision alone weakens the movie, you know, within the first hour. It's because you're just left going, well, fuck, I don't want to see this guy. I want to see Denzel. And for me, at least. And so I just, it's frustrating. It's kind of a frustrating film because I can see Spike Lee's, you know, kind of what has made Spike Lee a great director. I can see some of that here, but then I'm just like, bro, why did you do that for a large chunk of it? So,
yeah. But the question remains, do you recommend He Got Game?
No. There's better Spike Lee movies. There's longer Denzel movies. This is the only Ray Allen movie I've seen, but but I mean, there's better stories told in other basketball.
So in
films.
A few weeks, we're gonna watch a Shaq movie, and then you and I are both gonna decide who's the better actor, Shaquille O'Neal or Ray Allen, based on these two films completely.
Okay, I can't wait. Anyways, so do you recommend this one?
No. It's a frustrating watch for me. I can't think of a reason you'd want to watch it unless you were a Spike Lee completionist. I did not enjoy this.
Yeah. Anyways, hit the show notes to get all the links to the band No Shows. They're a multi-instrumentalist band from New York with the song Getaway. Be sure to give them a like, follow, subscribe. They're doing big things. We appreciate them. Allow us to use their music here on the podcast. And if you want to follow our podcast on all your favorite social media platforms, find us at Movie Draft House. We're on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, right here on YouTube, where you're probably watching us. So hit the subscribe button when it pops up so you don't miss any future content right here on the podcast. If you want to follow Jeff on podcast. No.
Yep. Follow me on podcast.
Don't follow Jeff. Don't follow Jeff's podcast.
Whoa.
Follow him on Twitter.
Whoa. Don't follow my, wow. Okay. Okay.
Well, I mean, I'm speaking for myself too, because I'm also one half of your podcast.
I thought you meant my other podcast.
No.
It's like, don't follow that, whatever you do.
No. If you want to follow Jeff on Twitter and tell him, hey man, how'd you feel when Ray Allen went to the Celtics? You can hit him up on Twitter at Podcast by Jeff.
Yeah. I mean, how did I feel? I was fine with it. We kind of sucked at that point.
Did Seattle had stopped being a team by then, right?
No, he was still in, when he left, the team was in Seattle when he left the Sonics.
The Sonics had just drafted Kevin Durant.
Durant was the new big thing. So, and we saw
right.
Anyway, if you want to get in touch with Mark and ask him about his nocturnal emissions or involuntary ones, you can do that. You can go on Twitter and find him at I Heard You Liked.
I gotta change my pants.
It happens.
But anyways, so don't forget the podcast releases weekly every Thursday on your favorite podcast streaming platform: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasts are right there. Doing big things, Jeff.
Yeah.
Any last words?
Yeah, go check out Mark's review of Love Is Blind over on YouTube. Check that out. That's my words of wisdom this week. There ain't no other way. I need a real escape. I know what I feel like. I run away. I'm trying to find a way to figure out if I stay or go. That's something I don't know. Need to find what's real for the getaway.
chasing what I know I can't keep. When I'm trying to grasp a feeling, lose the things that I need and the things that I see. I can't let them go free, but reality is something I dream. Forget all that's real for.